If you have a financial question, you can call this number 24/7, 888-6-ADVICE. You can also email those questions to yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. But right now during the show, be sure to call or text our studio line at 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226. Once again, here is the founder of Wealth Enhancement Group, financial advisor Bruce Helmer. Good morning, Bruce.
Denny Long, old friend, good to be with you. I adore Susie and Peg, but it's nice sometimes just you and I. It makes me think way back to the beginning. We first did this together, you and I, in January of 1997, my friend. This is our 29th year. We've known each other for 29 years. And where does the time go?
I was going to say that freight train moves mighty fast. It's 20-some years. Holy mackerel.
It seems to go faster the older we get also.
No, it's true. It does indeed. But some good years, I have to say that.
Yeah, me too. Thank you. And thank you for being here. For many of you listening today, it's either Easter Sunday or it's close to Easter. Denny, thank you for coming in on Easter. Hey, Denny, I got to tell you also, it's serendipitous that it's you and I today, because I had somebody ask me during the week about the origin of the show and, you know, when did it start and how did it start? And I don't know if I've ever told this story on air, and maybe you can tell it from your perspective also. We've got an hour, so I can take a little time to do this, I think.
Sure.
But back in 1996, I was actually approached by what was then the leadership of the station. And I know some of you listen a variety of different ways. You download, you stream, you podcast, you hear it on other radio stations. But the show actually originates, I can say this once, a WCCO in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And leadership from the station had a vision for the show, and they actually came to one of my seminars. I was doing a public seminar, and they told me they had been going to a lot of seminars looking for someone to host a financial show that they had an idea for. And they really liked my seminar. They liked my presentation, et cetera, et cetera. They were very flattering. And they didn't call it an audition, and I think you'll remember this, but you had me on as a guest several times in the summer and the fall of 96. I think they said maybe we're thinking, well, we'd like this seminar, but we don't want to put him on the radio and have him stumble all over his tongue. And so I think they were auditioning me, and after a couple guest appearances with you, they came back and said, yeah, let's sign a deal and make this a weekly thing. And I thought they'd throw me off the air in 3 months or less, and here we are in our 29th season. But do you remember the summer of 96 and you and I doing that?
I do remember that that particular time. That was actually what I was thought of as your screen test, your big Hollywood screen test. But no, I do remember that. And the management at the time would because management usually doesn't take any word of advice from me, but in that case, they gave me a choice too, which of course I applauded. You have kind of a natural ability, which really a lot of folks don't, and that really I think added to the whole charm. And you bring things down to a level that people who are not financial advisors can understand, and that's appreciated by our listeners, I know.
Well, thank you for the kind words, and right back at you. I think doing what you do and being able to shine the spotlight on your guest is a talent that a lot of people in broadcasting don't have, but you've always had it. You and I have always worked well together, and we became friends pretty much immediately. And so it's good that you and I today, and yeah, thank you for the 29 years. So, Denny and listeners, I'll get to business here. The topic today is five facts about Social Security you should know. And Denny, we talk about Social Security on the show quite a bit, but it still remains somewhat of a mystery to a lot of people in terms of how it works, how they should maximize the benefit, what their options are. It's way more complicated than some people think. I think a lot of listeners just think, well, when I retire, I'll file for Social Security and that's it. But it's really not that simple. So today I'm going to go over, I think, five kind of key points, some of which people might not be aware of. So Social Security works. First of all, about 70 million Americans are going to receive some kind of a Social Security benefit this year. It totals about $1.6 trillion in benefits. And Social Security actually has been around since the FDR administration. I think it went into effect in 1935. And some people talk about Social Security as an entitlement program. I've heard that term used before. It's not an entitlement program. We've paid for this. If you're still working right now, look at your paycheck. You'll see a contribution for FICA, for FICA. That's you contributing to Social Security so that when you retire, you'll get that money back plus some earnings to assist with your retirement. But Denny and listeners, I think a mistake a lot of people make, and I think my own parents, when they were still alive, would fall into this category. A lot of people think Social Security should be their sole source of retirement income. It's for the vast majority of people, Social Security alone is not going to cover your expenses. It's estimated that it provides a little over 30% of income for people 65 and older, and the average monthly benefit is actually a little bit less than $2,000 a month. So most people can't live on $2,000 a month. So Social Security is meant to enhance or supplement your retirement income. It is not meant to be your sole source of retirement income. So here are the five things I wanted to talk about today that maybe give people some insights that hopefully are helpful. Number one, Social Security Administration calculates your benefit on your 35 highest years of earnings. Now, I actually had a question from somebody during the week about this, and I gave them incorrect information. I knew it was 35 years, but I said to this person something else at the time. So if they're listening, I'm sorry I goofed up. But I think the answer comes out the same based on what I told them. So 35 years, but sometimes I get the question, well, what if I don't have 35 years of work history? They just take the years that you have, but if you don't have 35, then they'll add, let's say you have 30 years of work history, they'll add five zeros in until they get to 35 years. So even if you had a job that you didn't make a lot of money, a small income is better than no income, and it's going to enhance the benefit you get based on taking those 35 years. So whatever your highest 35 years were, that's what they use to calculate your benefit. And then not everybody understands that's listening right now that Social Security is not a fixed number. There is a cost of living adjustment to it, or a COLA, cost of living adjustment, C-O-L-A. And that cost of living adjustment is based on inflation at the time. On average, I think that increase runs something like 2.5% per year, but it certainly can vary. So number one, benefits are calculated on your highest 35 years of earnings, and then they adjust it up for inflation. Number two, there's an important thing you need to know called full retirement age, FRA, full retirement age. Now, this is, again, where it gets confusing to a lot of people, because not everybody has the same full retirement age. Born in 1954 or before that, your full retirement age is 66. But if you were born 1960 or after, your full retirement age is 67. And if you were like me and you were born between 54 and 60, my full retirement age is 66 years and 10 months. I was born in 1959, so my full retirement age is 66 years and 10 months. This is important to understand, because at full retirement age, you receive what are called full benefits. But you can begin to draw your Social Security as early as age 62 if you want to. And a lot of people think that they should take it as soon as possible and turn it on at 62. But if you start at age 62, your benefit is only going to be roughly 70% of what it would be at full retirement age. So a lot of people have the argument, well, I know I'm going to get smaller checks, but I'm going to get them for more years. Other people say, well, yeah, but if you wait, you get less checks, but they're bigger. Well, it's pretty easy to do a mathematical calculation to determine where the crossover point is. But I'll come back to that later, because determining when and how to draw your benefits is not as simple as just doing that mathematical calculation. So full retirement age matters. And then from full retirement age until age 70, your benefit actually increases by 8% a year, which is pretty significant. So you've actually got an eight-year window, listeners and Denny, from 62 to 70, from which you can draw your benefit, but your full retirement age is 66 or 67 or 66 years in some months. And that's also important because item number three, you can still be working and draw your Social Security benefit. But if you do and you have not yet reached full retirement age, you have to be careful on how much you earn. In 2025, if you're still working and you earn more than $23,400, and that gets adjusted every year also, that's the current number for 2025, for every $2 you earn over and above $23,400, and you want to draw Social Security, they're going to withhold $1 of your benefit. So I tell people all the time, and this has happened to me a lot in my career, someone wants to turn on their Social Security benefit before full retirement age. They're 62 or older, and they want more money, so they want to turn it on, but they're still working, and they're going to earn more than the what is now $23,400. I strongly discourage them from turning on their Social Security benefit, because they're going to lose 50 cents on the dollar for every dollar they make over that very low threshold. But once you've reached full retirement age, you can earn as much as you want, and there's no detrimental impact to your benefit. You could earn $100 million a year, and you still get your full benefit if you've reached full retirement age and you decide to turn on Social Security. So, again, so far, I said I had a total of five things to share. Number one, your benefits are calculated on your highest 35 years of earnings. Number two, there's something called full retirement age, and it matters. That's when you get your full benefit. That's when you can continue to work and draw Social Security with no restrictions on your income. And then number three, you can still work and draw Social Security, but be careful and do not, in my opinion, do not begin to take that benefit before you've hit full retirement age. So those are the first three. Number four, and this catches a lot of people by surprise that haven't yet reached the age where they can draw benefits. Number four, Social Security benefits are subject to income taxes. Now, I can't tell you how many times I've had somebody say to me, wait a minute, didn't I already pay the taxes while I was working? Isn't that what FICA was? I paid a tax to create this Social Security pool of money, and now when I draw that money, they tax it again. Aren't I being taxed twice? Listen, I didn't make the rules. I'm just telling you, that's what they are. So federally, and I'll talk about states in a second, federally, if you're a married couple filing jointly and your total income is $32,000 or greater, you're going to pay taxes on your Social Security benefit. Now, I've had people say, well, what if I keep my income below $32,000? If you can do that, then you don't pay taxes on your Social Security benefit. But I will tell you, it's almost impossible to do that. And there's a couple of reasons why. They not only add in your income from obvious choices, if you still have some kind of a job or part-time job or your investment income, or if you took a withdrawal from an IRA or a 401k, those things are all taxable income. So they're going to add to that $32,000. But then they also add in 50% or half of your Social Security benefit to that number. So when they're calculating that number, it's the obvious income, it's half of your Social Security benefit, and then they also add in certain things that provide tax-free income, like a lot of people have municipal bonds, and they say, well, I invested in municipal bonds to avoid taxes, and my municipal bonds are state and federally tax-exempt, so I don't have to pay taxes. That might be true, but that interest is still used in your Social Security crossover calculation. And even though it's a tax-free bond, it can add to that number to get you over the $32,000 threshold. So I don't know that I've ever had a situation where I've had anybody be able to stay below that $32,000. So if when you add all that income up, if you're over $32,000, but you're under $44,000, now again, this is for a married couple filing jointly, you're going to pay taxes on 50% of your Social Security benefit. Not a 50% tax rate, but you're going to pay taxes on half of the benefit. So in other words, if your Social Security benefit is $2,000 a month, you're going to pay taxes on $1,000 of that $2,000 at whatever your federal tax rate is. So let's say you're in a 10% federal tax bracket, you're going to pay $100 in taxes on your $2,000 of Social Security. If you're in a 12% federal tax bracket, you're going to pay 12% on half of the benefit, 12% of $1,000 or $120. So if your income is between 32 and 44, you pay on half of your benefit at whatever tax rate you're in. If you get to 44 or higher, that goes up to 85%. So if you get $2,000 and you're going to have to pay taxes on $1,700 of that $2,000 at whatever your tax rate is. So there are planning opportunities where on occasion we are able to keep somebody below the $44,000 with some planning and manipulation and doing some future value forecasting and cash flow analysis. We can determine ways to keep income below $44,000 and keep you paying taxes on only half of your benefit instead of 85% of your benefits. So there may be a planning opportunity there, but I don't think I've ever had anybody actually stay below the $32,000. And then there's also 12 states, and Minnesota, where this show originates, is one of them, where you pay taxes, state taxes, on your Social Security benefit as well. So whatever you think your benefit is going to be from Social Security, it's going to net down to a smaller number after you pay your taxes. And I'll just mention this briefly, although this might be a topic for another show. Most people also pay their Medicare Part B premiums from their Social Security benefit. So the gross number that you look at, if you look up your Social Security number, and the net number you get after you pay Medicare Part B and after you pay your taxes, is going to be a very different number, which, again, is not the end of the world and not a big deal. You just need to plan for it so you know how much income you have coming in to fund your lifestyle at retirement. And then finally, number five, married couples can actually receive a spousal benefit or even what's called a survivor benefit. So Social Security pays out in a lot of different ways, and most of us always think of a retirement benefit first, but there's also survivor benefits, there's disability benefits, there's other ways to claim Social Security. And in a nutshell, and this, Danny and listeners, this can get actually really complicated in this part. Sometimes there's strategies where we'll have a spouse start their benefit or take half of their partner's benefit. There's a lot of different things we can do there to try to maximize the total benefit for a partnership. But the biggest question I get is, what happens when my partner leaves this world? There's this survivor benefit. There's a retirement benefit. There's their benefit and my benefit. Do I get all of them? How much do I get if I'm left alone and my partner is gone? And the answer is you get the greatest of all those options. If your retirement benefit is the highest, you get that. If 50% of your partner's is higher, you get that. If the retirement benefit is higher than the survivor benefit. So all these different options that people can think about or look at, you only get one of them when your partner passes away, but you get the highest of all the possible options, but you only get that. You don't get the mix and match. And then finally, if there's even a benefit for divorced spouses. So if you were married for 10 years or more to somebody, and now you're no longer with them, you got divorced, you are eligible as a spouse for 50% of their benefit when they turn it on. And it does not dilute the benefit of the other partner. So in other words, if I'm the one getting Social Security and my ex-wife, who I was married to for more than 10 years, wants to get 50% of my benefit, she's eligible for that. She's entitled to that, but it does not reduce what I get. We both get our benefit. She can get 50% of my benefit, and I still get my full benefit. But she can't begin to draw on my benefits until I turn them on. So once I turn on my benefit, my ex-spouse is entitled to half of that. So, Denny, those are the five things. I know we're coming up against the clock here for the first half of the show. When we come back, I'll just do a quick review on those five things. And then most of the second half of the show, we can let listeners take us where they want to go.
Very good, Bruce. In fact, our listeners are responding to that right now via text. So if you have any particular financial question for Bruce, by all means, you can call us or you can text us, whichever is easier. Our text line is the same as the phone line, 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226. We'll be right back after the break. Stay with us for more of Your Money. If you have a financial question this morning, you can call it, in fact, 24-7, 888-6-ADVICE. You can also email those questions to yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. During the show right now, we urge you to text or call your financial question to our studio line, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Once again, here's the founder of Wealth Enhancement Group, financial advisor Bruce Helmer.
Thank you, Danny Long. Thank you for staying with us, listeners. In the first half of the show, I mentioned a couple of things. I mentioned that Danny Long and I have been partners doing this. This is our 29th season together. Incidentally, I should mention that Danny looks exactly the same. I've lost all my hair, and what little bit I have is gray, and I've gained 25 pounds, but Danny looks the same.
Yeah, I have a picture on the wall here that ages. I don't, you know, the picture of Dorian Gray. That's me. But thank you for that image. But that's all done with artificial intelligence. Bruce, I want to alert you that we do have callers and texters. So we got a lot of interest in this show this morning.
Awesome. Let's get to callers in a second. A couple of really quick things here. If you joined us late, again, we're talking about Social Security. And the first half of the show, I talked about five things that you need to know that you might not know. Some of these you might, some of them you might not. But number one, I mentioned that benefits are calculated based on your highest 35 years of earnings, and then they adjust a little bit for inflation once you start getting your benefit. Number two, there is a full retirement age, and it matters. If you were born 1954 or sooner, your full retirement age is 66. If you were born in 1960 or after, your full retirement age is 67. Number three, you can work and still draw your Social Security benefits, but be careful that you don't do that and make too much money before you've reached full retirement age. Number four, your Social Security benefits are going to be taxed, probably. And number five, married couples can receive a spousal benefit and or survivor's benefits. And then Danny, really quick, I did also want to mention, because I think this is important. Security, there's a lot of media about it now, and it's going to change or it's going to go away or whatever. My own opinion is that if you're already drawing benefits or you're close to the age where you will draw benefits, I don't think you're going to see change or much change. But with the aging population and the way Social Security was first set up back in the 30s, it's not sustainable the way it's set up right now. So change at some point is going to be inevitable, but I think it's going to be more impactful for the next generation, for my kids, for my future grandkids or whatever. Social Security will probably look different for them than it does for me, but I don't personally think I'm going to get a diluted benefit. I don't know that for sure, but that's my educated guess. Now, having said that, and I want to hear from people, not just this week, but in future weeks, if you notice a difference, if you're drawing Social Security and things change, the administration, here's where there is change. They've already announced they have cut or are cutting something like 7,000 jobs out of 57,000 federal employees. They're going to close 6 of 10 regional offices, 480 regular offices. So there could be some disruption in terms of timeliness of getting your check, or if you need service or have a question and you call the toll-free number or you go online, if you notice something change, if you have a negative impact, I would really like to hear about it. You can shoot us an email or call, because I'm really curious and I'm really concerned that even though I don't think your benefit is going to go down or go away, I think the service might be disrupted, and we'll have to wait and see what happens at this attempt at increasing the efficiency. And I will just say, there's a lot of waste in government. There's a lot of places where efficiency can be enhanced. But Social Security, and to my knowledge, to my experience, to my research, Social Security has been pretty darn efficient over the years, and I don't really know that we needed a lot of gutting or cutting there, but we'll see what happens. I'll let it go at that. All right, Danny, let's let listeners take us the rest of the way.
Yes, indeed. Call your financial question in or send a text, whichever you prefer. Here's one number to remember, 651-461-9226. Let's grab a phone call, first of all. Pat, calling in from Dassel, Minnesota today. Pat, you're on with Bruce Helmer.
Yeah, hi. I was just wondering, I'm close to retirement, and he's something about $23,000 a year you can make. But there's also something about catch-up plan with your 401k. Can just, for instance, I make $50,000. Can I still collect the $23,000 from my job and throw the $30,000 at the 401 type thing?
So, and yeah, still qualify? Pat. So let me thank you for listening and happy Easter. And by the way, I neglected to say that coming back from the break. I hope everybody has a blessed Easter. Enjoy time with family and loved ones, and be safe and make it a great day. So, yeah, you're combining a couple different concepts here, Pat, but they can play together, because when I mentioned the amount of money that you can earn, $23,400, that's your adjusted gross income. If you go over that and you're drawing Social Security benefits, then you're going to lose $1 for every $2 that you go over that $23,400. But how do we keep that? How do you work and maybe keep that $23,400 lower? You can contribute to a 401k plan. Any dollar that goes into a 401k plan reduces your income by the amount of the contribution of the 401k. And you're right. Once you reach a certain age, it's 50 or older, there's a catch-up provision where you can put even more into your 401k. So for people that are under the age of 50 participating in a company retirement plan, it's not only 401ks, but that's probably the most prevalent. It also might include 403bs, 457 plans, and so forth. But the contribution is a pre-tax dollar, or it reduces your taxes by the amount of the contribution. And if you're under the age of 50, you can legally contribute up to, in 2025, $23,500. But there's a $7,500 catch-up provision if you're 50 or older. So if you're 50 or older, you could literally put $31,000 into a 401k. So to your question, Pat, let's say I have a job and I make $50,000, I can put $31,000 into my 401k, and then I only have to report $19,000 of income. So those are two separate concepts, but they can play together in a comprehensive planning status of trying to keep my taxable income down so I can, in fact, be under my full retirement age, draw my Social Security benefit, and not have a detrimental impact. And by the way, if you have the wherewithal, the economic ability to save $31,000 a year, God bless you. That's awesome. If you can do it, you absolutely should. So I hope that answered your question. Thanks for listening. Happy Easter, Pat.
Again, 651-461-9226. Bruce, one of your five bullet points, the first segment, did answer this particular text, but someone may have joined us late. This year, texter says, I'm reaching my full retirement age, and I'm still working. if I do start taking Social Security this summer, how much can I earn this year?
So again, if you're not yet full retirement age, the total number is $23,400 of adjusted gross income. If you go over that, they can reduce your Social Security benefit by $1 for every $2 you go over that $23,400. Now, where it gets tricky and where I'm not even going to try to figure this out live on air is if I exercise my benefit in the middle of the year or I worked for part of a year. Everything I just gave in terms of $23,400 and what I get is based on an annual year or a tax year. It can get a little convoluted if we start getting into fractions of years or portions of years, and I'm not going to try to do that right now. Just the bottom line or the headline that people need to know is be very, 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 very careful about starting to exercise your Social Security benefit if you're still working and you have not yet reached full retirement age. I'm not saying it's not possible. It might be possible that you can do it and not have a detrimental impact, but we'd have to look at the specific situation and calculate, you know, what percentage of the year you worked, what you earned, when your benefit would start, and so on. And it's possible, but the headline is be very, very cautious. Don't go do that, you know, on a whim and not think it through and not consult with a financial advisor and or a tax person or somebody to help you make sure that you're not going to end up shooting yourself in the foot.
Here's another text, Bruce. The texter says, I collect Social Security but work part-time. So since I'm collecting Social Security, why do they take out Social Security on my part-time job?
Here's the double dip tax again. So I'm drawing benefits and I'm paying taxes on that income and I'm still working and they're taking FICA from my paycheck. And this is why, Danny, at the beginning of the show, I said sometimes people call this some sort of entitlement. This is not an entitlement. We paid for this. We paid, you know, for 35, 40 years of work. We contributed to this. And we have a reasonable expectation to be able to get it back when we retire. And then we get it back and they tax us again. So, again, don't shoot the messenger here. I didn't make the law. I'm just telling you what it is.
All right. Here's a question, a comment rather than a question, Bruce. As an example of how easy it is to reach the threshold for taxing Social Security benefits, my money market dividends alone put me in the 85% bracket. Just a comment from a listener. Now, here's another text question. I have reached full retirement age and my wife just turned 62. What percent spousal benefits of mine can she collect? She was a stay-at-home mom, so her benefit would be lower than the spousal benefit.
Yeah, so let me try to answer that one, and I want to also go back to the person that just had a comment. Those are both good texts. So, again, this can get really, really tricky, and I will be the first to admit that sometimes we have situations with regard to Social Security where I either need to go to our central planning team at Wealth Enhancement to help me out, and or I have a really good friend or someone I consulted at the Social Security Administration. Some of you may have heard her on this show over the years, Rhonda Whiteneck. And we may have her as a guest again someday, but her schedule's really busy these days, and it's hard to grab her for a show. But I've a couple of places I can go and get help if I get in over my head. But basically, the spousal benefit is 50%. You can get up to 50%. So if my personal benefit is $2,000 a month, and my spouse, who either worked and didn't make enough money to have a benefit greater than 50% of mine, or was a stay-at-home caregiver, they could get $1,000 a month. That's the headline, or that's the general rule. And again, that can get tricky in some situations, and there can be some exceptions to that. But for the purpose of our discussion, assume that the non-working spouse is able to get 50% of the working spouse's benefit as a general rule. The texter before that talked about, you know, having to pay taxes on 85%, of their Social Security benefit. That's what happens most of the time, because again, that total number, that total income number, only has to get to $44,000. And again, remember, and I said this in the first half of the show, that includes all your income, and income can be investment income. It can be like the texter said, it can be interest on a money market account. It can be withdrawals from my IRA. It can be income from my part-time job. It can be income from what we usually think of as tax-free sources of income, like municipal bonds. Now, the exception is I can take Roth income, and that does not count in my Social Security crossover calculation, which is another reason, and we've talked about it a lot on this show, why we like Roth IRAs so much. It's not only tax-free income, but it does not get added into the Social Security crossover calculation, which a lot of other tax-free things might. So, yes, most people, when they draw their Social Security benefit on the federal level, they're going to pay taxes on 85% of it. Again, that's not an 85% tax bracket, but it's 85% of your benefit. So I think in the first half of the show I said, if your monthly benefit is $2,000, 85% of $2,000 is $1,700. So I'm going to pay taxes on $1,700 of the $2,000 at whatever my tax rate is. So it might be 10% of $1,700. It might be 12% of $1,700. It might be 22% of $1,700 if my tax bracket is that high. So you almost for sure are going to pay taxes on Social Security, and most people are going to pay on 85% of the benefit. Sometimes we can manipulate that down, and then it's only 50% of the benefit if we can get you below $44,000. But most people are probably going to end up on 85%. And the other thing I mentioned in the first half, and then I forgot to go down that road, I talked about, you know, when do we draw benefits? And I don't want to do a plug or a commercial for my company, but I will just say this. Figuring out when and how to draw your benefits, particularly if you're a married couple and you both have work history and you're both eligible for Social Security benefits, determining how to maximize that benefit or be as efficient as possible is not as easy as people think. We can do calculations. We have a calculator. We have a software calculation where we download what we know about you into this calculator to try to determine how to maximize the benefit. But Denny and listeners, I always tell my clients, it's never going to be an exact science, because even though there's many things about you that we know, there's some things that we don't. And those things that we don't make it an inexact science. And the biggest thing that we don't know is we don't know exactly when you're going to die, right? Boy, financial planning would just be so much easier if we had a crystal ball and we knew exactly when we were going to die, but we don't. So we make a reasonable, logical assumption. We look at statistical data on life expectancy, and we say, based on statistics, if you live to your statistical life expectancy, here's the most efficient way to draw your benefit. So we can calculate that, but it's not as simple as saying, well, where's the crossover point? If I take it at 62 or 70 or somewhere in between, where do these numbers meet and where is it an equal amount? And if I live beyond that, then I'll have more money and it pays to wait. It's not that simple. So let me give you some other examples of variables that we'd look at. Let's say that you're someone that just doesn't have other sources of income to create as much income as you want or need for lifestyle. We may have you turn on your Social Security benefit before you would actually probably maximize your benefit over your lifetime, just because you don't have another choice. Or the opposite. Somebody's got plenty of other assets that they don't need to turn on their Social Security. We might say, let's wait until age 70 and maximize the benefit. You don't need money anyway, so let's wait. We might look at your genetics or your health or your family's life expectancy. If you had parents with longevity, those things are all going to come into play. Legacy planning is a big one. So if you're someone that says, and I have clients like this, I'm not worried about legacy planning. My kids are doing great. They don't need my money. If I spend my last dollar the day I take my last breath, that's fine. That person probably would want to turn on Social Security as soon as possible. they probably don't care about turning on Social Security, because if they spend their investments, it doesn't matter. But if legacy planning is a high priority and you want to leave as much as you can to kids, you might want to turn on Social Security sooner than later, because your kids don't get your Social Security, but they do get your investments. So if you're trying to preserve investments as much as you can as a legacy asset, then you might want to turn on Social Security sooner than you otherwise would. But the biggest reason why I see clients turn it on sooner that might be economically most efficient is they want to, for lack of a better word, front-load retirement income. We always talk about the go-go years, the slow-go years, and the no-go years. So most people are going to do more things, check more things off their bucket list, travel more early in retirement than late in retirement. And they might say, hey, I want more income in my 60s than my 70s or 80s because I'm going to do more stuff. I don't care if I get net less over my lifetime. I want to front load my retirement income and use income from investments and use Social Security to go do all the things I want to do while I can. Do we have time for one more, Danny?
You know, Bruce, there's one quick one here, and I think a little clarity, because I remember doing this occasionally in our previous years on the show. And this listener says, regarding the 50% Social Security benefit from an ex-spouse, is it only available to the former spouse if that former spouse is not remarried?
Oh, wow. Thank you for that clarification. Exactly correct. So, again, I'll use myself as the example. Married a long time, divorced, but we're married more than 10 years. I draw my benefit. My ex-spouse did not remarry. They can take 50% of my benefit. If they have remarried, then they might be eligible for their new spouse's benefit, but they're no longer eligible for mine. Great clarification. And also, the timing is about perfect, because I know we're getting close to the end here, my friend.
Absolutely. Well, Bruce, we'll wish everyone a happy Easter, and I hope you have a great Easter Sunday as well. And always great being with you. After all these years, it still works. Bruce, talk to you soon, eh?
You have a great day, my friend. Enjoy your family.
Thanks so much, Bruce Helmer, of course. And join us next week for more of Your Money. Here's that 24/7 number you can call with your financial question. Just leave it, 888-6-ADVICE, or email those questions at yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. Join us next week for more of Your Money.